today.
Great. You're killing it.
That's good. You notice by the title of my lesson, everyone needs Jonathan. You might wonder what that might be. You know, everybody talks about what a friend is. You know, we get friends in college, high school, grammar school, you know, somebody we just hang out with. But we're going to talk about what more than a friend is. And turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to go to 1 Samuel 14. I don't have this in the notes on the slide. But we're going to take turns on this. I'm going to have Sydney. Where's Sydney at?
I don't know.
Where are you at, Sydney? You're too quiet over there.
1 Samuel.
Yes, 1 Samuel 14. If I could get you to read verses 1 through 7.
All right.
And then Donald, if I could get you to read verses 8 through 14.
All right, here we go. 1 Samuel 14, verse 1. It says, "One day Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, 'Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side.' But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree." Thank you, Nora. "In Migron, with him were about 600 men, among whom was Ajiah, who was wearing an ephod. He was a son of Ichabod's brother Abtu, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest, and Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistines' outpost was a cliff. One was called Boaz and the other Shimeah. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash, the other to the south toward Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, 'Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Do all that you have in mind,' his armor bearer said. 'Go ahead, and I am with you, heart and so."
Jonathan said, "Come on then, we will cross over toward them and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come down to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. "The Lord has given them into the hands of Israel." Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet, with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistine fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre.
Okay, so what do we see here in this first passage? What do we see about Jonathan? What is he?
Bold.
Yeah.
Pretty bold.
Pretty bold, yeah.
You said son?
Yes, yeah, son of Saul.
Son of Saul, okay. Okay, we see he's also an armor bearer.
Yeah.
And we see he's pretty...
Courageous?
Yeah, he's pretty courageous.
Committed.
And we see that he's very victorious. If you turn to the next slide, Chris. The word Jonathan means the whom the Lord gave. Now you might ask, well, what does that mean? Well, if you've got Bibles like I do, I have a study Bible, and from 1 Samuel 15 to 1 Samuel 18, you're going to read these. You may have some of these subheadings, like Saul's disobedience, Samuel rebukes Saul, Samuel goes to Bethlehem, David anointed, Goliath's challenge, David accepts the challenge. You might ask, well, what does that mean? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. But how many remember the story of David and Goliath?
Oh, yeah.
We know that David had slew Goliath. So after David slew Goliath, go to the next slide. 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 4. Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as himself. I'm going to say that again. Jonathan loved David as himself. Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. Now, what do we see here?
That Jonathan loved David as himself.
Now, what does that mean to love somebody as yourself?
Devoted friendship.
I would say like the golden rule to treat others just as you would yourself.
Okay, would you say treat others as you would treat yourself, or would you say deeper than that?
Himself and giving it to David, which I don't even remember that, to be honest. I don't remember that. But the fact that he did that, that's like saying, there's no longer me, it's you. This is all yours. Even his own clothes he gave to him.
Now, this is closer than any other, than even a marriage, okay? Now, let's think about this. Saul was Jonathan's father, right? So what is that supposed to mean in the lineage of kings? Who's supposed to be next?
Jonathan.
But one of the headings I said was Samuel anoints David to be king. Don't you think Jonathan had a reason to be salty?
A little bit.
His birthright was given to David because he attacked Goliath and killed him with one rock. But what does he do? He loves David as himself. He takes on the role of an armor bearer. He puts his, which means he's David's shield. How many people, besides me, how many people serve in the military or know what it's like about the military? How many know what it's like to be really, really committed, including marriage? This is deeper than a marriage, okay? And their commitment is based on a commitment to God. Not just each other, just like a marriage. You know, they let nothing come between them not career, family problems. They drew closer to each other when their friendship was tested. You know, John 13:34 reminds us, you know, Jesus reminds us, as I've loved you, so you must love one another. You know, can you think of a love, of loving somebody as more than you love yourself? I mean, if you can't love your, I mean, first off, if you can't love yourself, your neighbor don't have a shot. I mean, how can you love? I mean, it's like going to the ATM, okay, folks? How can you give money if you don't have money in your account? So how can you give love if you don't have love? So I've got 4 points to my sermon today. The first one is Jonathan and David committed to each other. Remember, I read in 1 Samuel 18:3, then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Now I'm going to read to you verses. You can turn there if you want to, but I'm going to read verses 9, chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. Now Saul told Jonathan, his son, and all his servants to put David to death. Okay? But Jonathan, Saul's son, greatly delighted in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, my father is seeking to put you to death. Now therefore, please be on guard in the morning and stay in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. If I find out anything, then I will tell you. Then Jonathan spoke well of David to his father Saul and said to him, do not let the king sin against his servant David, since he has not sinned against you, and since his deeds have been very beneficial to you. For he took his life in his hand and struck the Philistine. And the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by putting David to death without a cause? Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul vowed, as the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death. I'm going to say that again. He shall not be put to death. Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these words. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as formerly. When there was war again, David went out and fought the Philistines and defeated them with great slaughter, so they fled before him. So Jonathan protected David from Saul. Why did Jonathan have to protect David from Saul?
The Lord commanded.
But what was it about Saul, do you think?
Maybe he was envious of David because the people liked him.
Yeah. I would also say that he knew that David had been anointed to be king after him, and he wanted his son to be king afterwards.
Well, see, the thing is, the Lord left Saul and went to David because Saul was very sinful at the time. Because if you remember, of the subheadings I gave you, one was Samuel rebuked Saul. So Saul was in sin at the time. So that's why David was anointed king. You know, if you go to the next slide, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. You see, Jonathan and David are not only friends, they're also brothers. They're the best of friends, and they're brothers in Christ. Now you might ask, well, Richard, why is this so important to you? Why is being a Jonathan so important? Well, in my 20 years out here, I've been a Jonathan to every leader out here. And it's not because it makes me feel good. It's not that. It's because God's put it on my heart to be a Jonathan. Because in my life, I've never had a Jonathan. I came from I came from an abusive alcoholic family. And I suffered from a lot of abuse. Even my first wife was abusive. I didn't know what true love was if true love came and bit me in the face. And in 1999, when I made the choice I did, God had other plans for me. He spared my life. I didn't know what those plans were until I was converted in 2001 in the Nashville church. And God blessed me with another chance in life. So when I called Jesus Lord, I promised I would serve him in any way I could. And he put on my heart to be a Jonathan. And part of being a Jonathan means that leaders don't have to worry about a thing. A leader shouldn't have to worry about coming to church and having the lights turned on. A leader shouldn't have to come into church and wonder where they're going to sit or what songs are going to be sung. A leader shouldn't wonder where loyalty lies in the church. And I know this is deep for me to say, but I can honestly say I love Sydney as much as I love Nora, if not more. Because Sydney has seen almost as much as Nora has seen in my life. And I've seen almost as much of Sydney's life as Sydney has seen. We've seen the good and we've seen the bad. And there's nothing that I wouldn't do for Sydney, and there's nothing that I wouldn't do for this church. I was here for this church when we were 4. I was here for this church when we were 20. And I'm here for this church now that we're 15. And I'm even with this church as we go into build. Going on, you can write this down. 1 Samuel 20, verses 16 through 23. You don't have, not yet, Chris. No problem. Jonathan made a vow to David again because of his love for him, because he loved him as he loved his own life. Jonathan said to him, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. When you have stayed for 3 days, you will go down quickly and come to the place where you hid yourself on that eventful day, and you shall remain by the stone of Zeal." Now I'm going to stop there. Because Saul threatened David's life again. And this time Jonathan is hiding David. And Jonathan's putting his own life on the line as well, only at a higher price. And he goes on, if you read to verse 23, he gives him a sign. And the last verse says, "But if I say to you, behold, the 3 arrows are behind you, go, for the Lord has sent you away. As for the agreement of which you and I have spoken, behold, the Lord is between you and me forever." Jonathan had David's back, which leads me to my next slot, my next point. No, Chris, forward. Yeah. Jonathan and David's relationship was spiritually based. Next slide, Chris. Todd, can you read verse 20, verse 42?
Jonathan said to David, "Go in safety, inasmuch as we have sworn to each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord will be between me and you, and between my descendants and your descendants forever.'" Then he rose and departed, while Jonathan went into the city.
You know, it was about God, not just the fact that they're close friends. You know, our relationships must be built upon our common love for God and our shared commitment to Jesus as Lord. Only then we can build a permanent bond. You know, their promise to each other was based upon the Lord, and it was in the name of the Lord. You know, our relationships that we build in the church, have to be to Jesus as Lord. Does this relationship draw you closer to God? Do you have a relationship that draws, do you have a relationship that draws you closer to Jesus, his church, and the mission? Just like Jonathan and David had. That's a question you have to ask yourself. Point number three. Jonathan gave David his valued possessions. Just to remind you that you don't have to turn, Chris. 1 Samuel 18:4. If you remember, Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. Now, men, we're typically superficial. We want our cars, we want our clothes, we want our possessions. I mean, let's face it, not just men, women too are superficial. We want our possessions. But men, why do we need, men sometimes think, why do we need a gift, right? Why is it so important? Well, in our value relationships, a gift helps us express what we can't say to our brother. I mean, let's face it, us men, we're shallow. How many of us can honestly say to another man, "I love you," or "thank you, bro, for being in my life"? You know, other times, a spiritual gift is something deeper, like giving a Bible to somebody because you think it's going to help them. You think it's going to help them preach better, or you think it's going to help them in the Bible study. That's something special. That's not something to be taken lightly. One of the best spiritual gifts I ever got was being invited to a hotel downtown with Sydney and another brother to sit with Tom Jones and find out about the history of the ICOC with Tom Jones and sitting there drinking a cup of coffee. That was probably the best spiritual gift I ever got. Because that spiritual gift, it wasn't about thinking about what that brother had to put forth. He didn't have to sit there and think, how much money do I got to spend on this brother? He spent from his heart. And he spent from his wisdom. That's something you can never get back. And that kind of gift isn't, that kind of spiritual gift doesn't have to break the bank. And point number four, some of you may disagree about it, But Jonathan and David expressed affection and emotion. Now that's important because we're not robots. I'm feeling feelings right now. Yeah, I've been choking back tears. But that's because I'm also human. I'm not just spiritual. I mean, you cut me open, yeah, I've got a little bit of metal in me because of some surgeries I've had. But I've got a heart. I've got a brain. Next slide, Chris. 1 Samuel 20, verse 41. When the lad was gone, David rose from the south side and fell on his face to the ground and bowed three times. When they kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the more. David and Jonathan, some of the bravest warriors out there. So we see them weeping. Jesus wept. Was he less of a man? You know, sometimes there's things that hold back our expression of our emotions. What are some of those things that stop us from showing our emotions, guys? Gals?
I would say sometimes it's not accepted. Emotions. I mean, I grew up in a family where that just wasn't the thing to do, to weep or to show those kinds of emotions. So sometimes it's not accepted, and so you can choke back on showing emotion because of that.
You know, I grew up in a family like that too, but let me ask this. What really stops us when you come down to it?
The opinions of others.
Fear, judgment.
To put your burdens on someone else. Sometimes it can feel that way.
Pride, I think, is the word you're looking for.
Yes, pride. Fear that we're going to be looked down upon or seen as weak. How about not wanting to share with another man deep down inside how much our heart is breaking for them? Next slide, Chris. This is the last scripture. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with them lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Jonathan proved himself to be a true friend. Now David at this time was a fugitive. He goes to see the fugitive, David. He even agrees to risk his life to speak to Saul. Again. I told you that I've got Sydney and I've got his back. Who's got your back? Better yet, whose back do you have? Who are you a Jonathan for? At this time, I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray for the communion.